interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a TGIF September 20 game day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off live from Moss Bluff, Louisiana on 1037 The Game. Ben Love joining you from the home of the Sam Houston Broncos, the famous Clint D. Oh, about an hour and change to my east. Inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Big program today and big news right out of the chute. Within the last 35 minutes, the New England Patriots have dropped wide receiver Antonio Brown. And this is going to overshadow pretty big local news that LSU offensive lineman Ed Ingram has been reinstated, and I have been informed. I'll give some credit here. Shea Dixon, go247.com. Ingram did not travel with the team. We're going to touch on both of those big stories, one national, one more local, as we begin the program today. Feel free to weigh in whenever you're ready. 706-0111. Let's start locally with Ed Ingram. I mentioned didn't travel with the team to Vandy, won't play tomorrow. But LSU football dispatched a tweet. He has been reinstated. And so you would imagine Adrian McGee's time starting at left guard soon will come to an end. And when I say soon, I mean, you know, probably next Saturday. And I think the other thing we all know, we heard it earlier in the week from some of our guests, Ed Ogeron was preparing for this, not just because he basically told you so Monday at his lunch presser, but also because the announcement was made that Chasen Hines is being moved behind Lloyd Cushenberry as the backup center. You do that because you don't need depth anymore at an offensive guard spot. So big news for the Tigers and an offensive line that has a chance to get a lot better for James Craig and company. How quickly will the Texas native be back into game shape? We'll find out. LSU shouldn't need him tomorrow in Vandy, and they won't have him. But starting next week, it's a very different story. Quickly, other big LSU storylines leading into tomorrow morning's game. From Music City, Caleb Von Chaisson, according to Coach Ed Ogeron, not ready for play, and so one of LSU's premier edge rushers will not be available in the ball game. Rashard Lawrence, Glenn Logan, both will be out again. Michael Divinity moving back to outside linebacker. What's got two thumbs and thinks that's a good idea? This guy in Moss Bluff, Louisiana. Why? More Patrick Queen on the field at the same time as Jacob Phillips could only be a good thing, especially as you face a running team with a threat like the Commodores have. So I think, look, it's not just the guys that you want playing in tandem at inside linebacker. It's also, at least for this game, the absence of Chaisson. Divinity needs to be back on the outside. And according to Coach Ed Ogeron, he will be. A couple of other quick updates. Keenan Jones, the pride of Berwick High, might have an opportunity to play at safety tomorrow. We understand that with the injury to Todd Harris, you got to find somebody to plug in and play opposite of All-American Grant Delpit. Jacoby Stevens, probably going to be required more in the box. Marcel Brooks, the freshman out of Texas, probably a little bit more in the box. And so if it isn't Kerry Vincent on a down-in, down-out basis, look for Keenan Jones to potentially get some run in the ballgame tomorrow. Let's switch over to the big national story. And while we expected Ed Ingram to be reinstated, that was foretold, as I mentioned earlier this week, maybe we should have expected this from Antonio Brown. He had four catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown through the air in what I think we all know now will be his only game as a New England Patriot. Again, you're just joining us. The Pats announced they have released all-pro wide receiver Antonio Brown. That news dropping within the last 40 to 45 minutes. The release said, and I quote, "It's the best move in a different direction." And Antonio Brown, again, not shy on social media, tweeting out, "Thank you," with a picture of him in the hoodie. Bill Belichick also tweeted out, "The marathon continues." Right off the cuff reaction is basically the sexual assault allegations. Okay, maybe they are leading to something that even the Patriots don't want to deal with. But that was before I did a little more digging. And the Wall Street Journal earlier today printed that a second accuser has come forward to Antonio Brown. This one showing that he had threateningly texted her while with the Patriots. All right, let's all think aloud here. Antonio Brown, we understand, has jumped from lily pad to lily pad, right? He was a Steeler, then sort of a Raider, at least for the duration of time to be on Hard Knocks on HBO. He's been with the Patriots for all about, 10 days? The guy's been with Belichick and the Patriots? And so I think that there's an understanding. You hate to say, in a country where you should be innocent until proven guilty, you hate to say that where there's smoke, there's fire, but I think one thing maybe we can say, and again, the Wall Street Journal is not just going to print fluff, that the Patriots perhaps feel as if AB can't follow team culture, doesn't want to, and oh, by the way, everything today comes on the heels of the Boston Globe reporting yesterday that Nike has released Antonio Brown as one of their premier marketing subjects. And the only thing that I could continue to say on this program, I didn't want to touch the original sexual assault allegations. We still don't know what's happened there. It seemed like incredibly coincidental timing. I get that. But what I thought then and what I think now is that I hope Antonio Brown gets some help, because there are some things, I believe, upstairs that are fundamentally wrong with that guy right now. And for everyone that wanted to say he is a genius, a modern-day free agency Picasso, because we all understand the Steelers granted his wish to be set free. He got his scratch, but to get it and earn it, they made him go to a wasteland. And the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. We all thought he was, like I said, a free agency Picasso, right? Or maybe a Houdini, because he disappeared from the silver and black and landed with the best franchise maybe in all of professional sports. With a lot of the money up front, with the possibility for some back-end money as well, I think a lot of people speculated maybe this guy goes out and fetches that helmet endorsement now because he's made such a fuss about that. And I told you then, I'll repeat it now, I hope this guy gets right, because I think he's taken one too many Vontaze Burfict shots to the dome. And so I'm not going to use this opportunity to make fun of him. I'm not going to tell you I told you so. I just hope he gets right, because this has the potential to be a story that gets even uglier than it is now. And right now it's ugly mainly from a football perspective. But boy, if somebody can't help him get a hold of himself, this thing may end very poorly. And I think it is already reflecting poorly on the Pats. You needed him for that one game, right? That one touchdown you squeezed out of him while playing the absolutely miserable Miami Dolphins. So the Patriots, it's one thing to say that you foster second chances, but the guy made it. Less than 2 weeks with the franchise? It's just an incredible story that continues to add more chapters to its lunacy, frankly. And Antonio Brown, from the Steelers to the Raiders, the Patriots, and now, as he said, the marathon continues. I hope that he's able to sprint in a different direction without freezing his feet, bitching about his helmet. Having to get out and wiggle out of every which way that he could, only to land in a place where now he's in hot water that even he can't escape from. So big stories as we're at the gate on a Friday. We got great guests coming aboard today. On the other side of this break, in about 4 minutes, Jason Caldwell, inside the AuburnTigers.com. He just touched down in Houston, and he'll be covering Auburn at Texas A&M, probably second only to Georgia Notre Dame as far as SEC contests go this week. So we'll get a live report from right outside of College Station at straight up 5 o'clock. Hey, we're going to Nashville. Justin Vincent with the Tiger Athletic Foundation breaking down LSU Vandy and giving us a bit of a scene setter from Music City. And then at 6 o'clock, we go right into football night in Acadiana pregame mode. Myself, Raymond Parse III, We're going to preview all the games on our family of stations, LCA Acadiana. We'll look back and go forward as well with Spanning the State. A couple of really good ones today, including a big-time matchup in Baton Rouge. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back out to Moss Bluff. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the home of the Sam Houston Broncos on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Right back out to beautiful Moss Bluff, Louisiana. Little B2BS coming at you on a football Friday on 103.7 The Game. Bad things happen when you try to go, not necessarily to Houston, Texas, but to College Station, Texas. At least that's how I feel. We're trying to hook up with our man Jason Caldwell to get a boots-on-the-ground report before his Auburn Tigers take on Texas A&M, and right now getting voicemail. So I don't know if he's lost in the web of people that are just trying to make sure they stay dry over in H-Town. But, hey, we're going to soldier on, and I'll bring on Blaine Viator. We're going to have the call of Karen Crow, Sam Houston, later tonight on Z105.9. And so while I'm doing radio, he's just crushing the interwebs right now, all over Twitter. Apparently there's more, at least from a financial side, with Antonio Brown being released earlier today by the New England Patriots.
Yeah, look, he was due $30 million? At the beginning of March, he was due $30 million for the entire season. That's all, you know, by the wayside. The Patriots did sign him for a $9 million signing bonus. They're going to be on the hook for some of that, possibly. The first installment of that payment was due on Monday. But look, he was due $30 million at the beginning of March. If he doesn't get any of that guaranteed money, he's only going to make about $158,000 this year, Ben. So to go from making $30 million to $158,000, that's got to be a kick in the bucket, right?
It's unbelievable. Look, Antonio Brown released by the Patriots, and another interesting quote that I'll share with you right now as we're starting to get a little stadium music here in Moss Bluff. Was wondering where the hell that was coming from. Like, Clint, what'd you cut loose on me here? Okay, that's on the PA here. But Adam Schefter of the Mothership, see if you agree with this, partner. Quote, I think it's fair to wonder who at this point would give Antonio Brown a chance next. When the New England Patriots say goodbye to you, that's a kiss of death on a lot of people, I think. Concur?
It has to be. I mean, that's where guys go to resurrect their career. Look, Josh Gordon even got a chance in New England with Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. Look, since his release, Antonio Brown's agent has already tweeted out, look, Antonio's looking to play. He's in the best shape of his life. He's played football a week ago. He's ready to go now. So Antonio Brown's looking for a home to play as soon as possible. I just don't know who would be willing to take a chance on him at this point, especially you know, with the new allegations of those text messages out there.
And I know there are a couple of reporters in New Orleans. I saw at least one talk show radio host as well, Brian Bienemy, who listeners to this station are familiar with, saying that don't even ask about the New Orleans Saints, that Sean Payton, even prior to this latest bit with the Patriots, said basically persona non grata and not going to go there. And frankly, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but in life without Drew Brees for 6 weeks, that's the least of your concerns, in my opinion, is getting more toys for Teddy Bridgewater to throw to. I don't think that's the issue at hand. Just tell him to keep throwing it to Michael Thomas. There wasn't a lot of that going on in the second half last week. I'm not saying it from my fantasy perspective, but he's the best player on the team potentially. So I don't know that that's anywhere near a priority at this point for that franchise.
Well, nor do you need those kind of distractions. You know, you need Teddy Bridgewater focused in and honed in on that team. Look, you have plenty of weapons around him with Kamara too. So I don't think that's what the Saints need at this point. It's just another circus in New Orleans.
So unbelievable. The news of the day nationally, AB released by the New England Patriots. Again, this is coming in the aftermath of a second accuser stepping forward, and the Wall Street Journal reporting that accuser had threatening texts that were coming from Antonio Brown while he was a New England Patriot, which, again,
it's only about a 10-day window.
It's a 10-day window. And so I know with the first time around, there were a lot of people, and I hate to even say this, but we're in a touchy culture. You know this. But I think that there were people who wondered if it was crying wolf or taking advantage of AB being in the national spotlight when the first accuser came forward, whether that was or wasn't true. this seems to be something pretty concrete. The Wall Street Journal's coming out with it, and it's in a 10-day window, to your point.
Well, if you have text messages, you know you have concrete evidence at that point. So, I mean, I don't see an NFL franchise being able to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. He's absolutely toxic, and I don't think anybody needs that kind of stuff in their locker room.
So no Antonio Brown anywhere right now. And Adam Schefter wondering aloud, and I think a lot of us are, if he is now going nuclear and if he will be re-signed at any point during the remainder of this season. Of course, we share with you as well the big news of the day locally. LSU traveled to Nashville. They got to Music City yesterday, taking on Vandy tomorrow at 11 a.m. Ed Ingram is not on that flight, and he won't be on a subsequent one, but he is now reinstated. And so the big offensive guard from the Lone Star State will be available for LSU beginning next week. Your thoughts, Blaine, on maybe how that impacts the O-line rotation? And I got to imagine it's just, look, your five best got better.
Well, I think when you look at LSU's offensive line, I think if you had to pick a spot that might have not been as good as the others, it was Adrian McGee in that left guard spot. And I think you get a guy like Ingram able to come in who played in, what, 10 out of the 11 games his freshman year? I'm sorry, 11 out of the 12 games his freshman year and contributed, you know, very well. He was a freshman All-American, and he was just a road grader at that left guard position. So when you can insert somebody like that in a team that maybe needs a little bit more physicality because, you know, they kind of went to that spread pass-happy offense, so you might need somebody that could come in and, look, buckle that chin strap and just get after it and help him in the run game.
So the Tigers getting better on the offensive line. Still going to need some help on defense. Maybe less so with scheme than just getting personnel healthy. And we know tomorrow for the second straight game, no Rashard Lawrence, no Glenn Logan along the defensive line. I didn't mention this in the opening segment. It feels like it's kind of a given for the time being, but no Sadiq Charles as well on the O-line. And Ed Ogeron saying in the last 24 hours, Kalavon Chaisaw just not going to be ready for the ball game tomorrow. I'm going to choose to interpret that as if we were playing Texas A&M the last week of the season and it meant going to the right bowl game, then maybe Kalavon would be ready. In this situation, perhaps not.
Well, I think that it's an opportunity, and it's crazy that it's able to happen like this, that you get some younger guys some reps and get Klavion to maybe get a little bit more healthy. But Marcel Brooks was a name that we heard 2 weeks ago before the Northwestern State game is a guy that might get some run in place of Klavion Sasson, but it didn't happen. Marcel Brooks sat out last week. Coach's decision, take that as you will. But he was able to talk him up again this week and see if maybe he might get an opportunity to rush the passer, but also just get some game experience. He's only played in one game so far this year. That was in Austin against Texas. I think a lot of people are excited about the former five-star. Let's see what he can do and get him on the field in Nashville.
So LSU with an opportunity to not only remain, but perhaps elevate their status. The number four team in the country, the teams above them. Okay, I'm not so sure that Alabama or Clemson are going to lose. I certainly don't think Georgia's going to lose, but I will at least recognize that my Bulldogs, my alma mater, are playing the number seven team in the country. Just from talking to you off the air as we made our drive from Lafayette to Moss Bluff, I know you think this is going to be one-way traffic in Athens.
Well, if you look at Notre Dame's track record so far this year, they're absolutely awful against the run. And what does the Bulldogs do so well? Run the football. I think that spells trouble for the Irish in Athens. I just think that Georgia's going to be able to run away with that game. And then 14.5 points don't scare me one bit.
I got a picture that was texted to me. I don't know if this has absolutely, you know, gone viral or not yet, but one of my Georgia buddies sent me a photo, and apparently there's this new, like, neon red kind of light that's going to go in between levels of Sanford Stadium tomorrow that literally circles the entire place and said this thing is going to be like a nightclub tomorrow night. So it's a blackout with like a neon red light. So it's, I guess, a mixture between badass football and a night at the Roxbury.
Well, I've been in that stadium, and look, I've been a lot of places in the SEC, and I think that's as good of a atmosphere as you can get. So I think that place is going to be rocking. They got a big-time non-conference top 10 opponent coming in. They're going to be ready to play come Saturday night.
Got to saddle up for great football, and Acadiana, you need to saddle up because the Angola Prison Rodeo is coming back, and 103.7 The Game wants to give you a family four-pack of tickets to the wildest show in the South. Just text the word Angola, A-N-G-O-L-A, Angola to 68683 for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the 2019 Angola prison rodeo. Farthest thing from a prison, but maybe something close to a rodeo, Blaine. We're at the home of the Broncos right now. We're getting ready for high school football tonight. We'll talk plenty of it from 6 to 6:30. RP3 going to stop by for football night in Acadiana, pregame edition. But between now and then, our apologies on missing out with Jason Caldwell. We do have Justin Vincent scheduled, 5 o'clock live from Nashville. Make sure that you're around for that. On the other side of this break, 4 sink or swims as we go over under on a Friday. A little LSU, a little Cajuns, a little Saints as well. We're throwing a lot at you. I'm sure you'll catch as many as we're throwing your way. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back at it live from beautiful Moss Bluff, Louisiana. I don't think I'm exaggerating that. Ben Love, I'll be joined for a moment or two here by Blaine Viator. We're in the press box of the Sam Houston High School Broncos. I'm saying that it's beautiful. Look, the weather's not bad. You and I just stepped out of the press box, got a little breeze going. High school students pumped up for some football. Not a bad place to be.
Not at all. The field is just in excellent condition considering the amount of rain that they took in around these parts the last couple days. It's about as green as the football fields we've seen so far this year.
I kind of wondered if all the Southwest Louisiana teams, especially ones a little closer to Lake Chuck, Sulphur, and just by, you know, I guess reference sake, it's still closed. I-10 is at exit 4. That's the Vinton exit. So as you get down in that direction, especially, I've been wondering just how passable some of these fields would be, right? Are we going to see slop fest if what you and I are seeing is any indication might not be as bad as maybe anticipated?
I think I saw a couple schools might have postponed games or moved games. I don't know if they moved them over for tomorrow or which ones they actually were, but I did see a couple tweets about that. But if this is any indication of what the fields look like, they're in excellent shape.
All right, so we try to be in good shape every Friday. It's been a three-plus year tradition. I don't think Clint and I kicked it off in fall of 2015. But since then, I'm adamant about this. We go over-under with our sink or swim question of the day. I've got 4 today. I know that's pushing the boundaries, but I want to fit in LSU, the Cajuns, and the Saints. So, CD, how about a little music, and then we'll get after it. Exciting and new. We'll go 2 for LSU, 1 for the Cajuns, and finish up with the Saints. I'll run through it quickly, but you'll get your reminders. And they're also on our Facebook and Twitter pages, at 103.7 The Game. Part 1, Joe Burrow. Will he eclipse 350 yards passing? Side note, this is where we're at in 2019. We're wondering if the LSU quarterback will hit 350 or not because he does it on the reg. Sink or swim 2. Will Vanderbilt score over under 12.5 points in tomorrow's game in Nashville? Let's go to sink or swim 3. The winner of the Cajuns-Ohio ball game, will they score over under 34 points? And then finally, will the Saints manage 300 yards of total offense Sunday at Seattle? I'll run it back for you if you need, but that's what's on the table now. CD, we got to give you honors. Give us your best.
All right, when it comes to Joe Burrow, 350 yards passing, I'm going to probably pound the over on this one. I feel like this one's probably to be closer to 400 yards. I think he has one of those kind of performances. Again, might be largely because you're playing a little bit more of an inferior program as opposed to what we've seen from LSU the last few weeks. I'll go under on Vanderbilt scoring 12.5 points. I'd say maybe 10 points is where they're going to be at. And the winner of the Cajuns-Ohio game scoring 34 points, I'm going under on that one as well. Largely because I feel like it's going to be a more of a defensive ball game, and we wind up seeing maybe the Cajuns or the Bobcats eke it out late on a field goal, and that's going to be the big thing I feel like we're going to look at on Sunday and also on Monday as well. I feel like it's going to be one of those low-scoring ball games, as opposed to what we've seen from the Cajuns the last 2 weeks. And finally, Saints manage 300 yards of total offense I'm going over, but I'm leaning over. It'd probably be about 305, 310, because if you're not able to get 300 yards of offense with Teddy Bridgewater, with Alvin Kamara, and all the weapons that he has at his disposal, it's not going to be a good, like, 6 to 8 weeks, brother.
All right, I'm going to let Blaine take it now. I like to just sit back and poach you guys when you're done. So Clint just gave us his takes. We got time for YP, you people out there in listener land as well. Do a little football Friday fun with us. Call us up, 706-0111. Take a run of your own. But, Blaine, what say you?
Well, I hate to agree with Clint, but I'm going to absolutely pound the over with Joe Burrow, over 350 yards passing. He's been just so efficient with the football. I mean, when you're, what, 83% I think he's averaging right now. He's going to go over there. I don't even think it's going to be close. What is it, 12.5?
You have 12.5.
12.5. I'm going to go over it for that as well. And when LSU's offense are, you know, they're humming the way they are right now, scoring in 3 minutes or less and, what, 19 drives this season, that defense is going to be on the field quite a bit. They're out a few key guys, you know, Rashad Lawrence, Glenn Logan along that front, and Clavion Satchel in the linebacking core.
That was one of the most unique pronunciations I've heard yet. I like that one. Keep going.
I just think that, you know, they're going to have some holes. We've seen them struggle a little bit against Northwestern State, especially in the first half, and they were able to make some adjustments and kind of stifle them. But they just on the field so much, Ben. And they Vanderbilt might get a touchdown late to go over that 12.5, but I have them over 12.5, under 20, somewhere in that ballpark. The Cajuns in Ohio, it's at, what, 30?
34. Will the winner hit 34?
I think so. I think that the winner will hit 34, and I think it'll be the Raging Cajuns. They have a three-headed monster in the backfield, and they're able to kind of run the football. I think that takes the pressure off of Levi Lewis on the road against Ohio. I like them to be able to get to that magical number and maybe get closer to 40 and win that ball game.
I know when it comes to this last one, you've been mocking my number for a while. You think I set a bad line, don't you?
Yeah, 300. It's 2019, man. 300 yards in the NFL. Look, if they do not come over 300 yards, whew, man, like Clint and CD just mentioned, it's going to be rough times without Drew Brees. Look for Teddy Bridgewater and company to get that offense going a little bit. Even though they're on the road, they'll be able to move the football. And I'm not sure they'll come away with the victory, but they'll get over 300 yards.
I'll start with Burrow, and I disagree with both you and Clint. I'm going under. His season average is 374, right? So he's soaring over the bar. Here's the thing. How many did he have against Texas? A whole freaking lot. So I think that average is skewed a little bit. I'm not dumping on Joe Burrow. He's a Heisman top three candidate for a reason right now, and I think he still will be after the Vandy game. I just don't know that they pour onto this team necessarily. I don't think LSU covers the spread tomorrow. I think that Burrow has a good, maybe borderline great game, but I think he might just belly a little bit under the bar of 350 while LSU tries to get his running game going a little bit more. I'm going Vandy over 12.5. A lot of the same things you said. Don't even need to explain it. I agree. This game's going to be within 24 to me. If that happens, Vandy scores 13 or more, even if it's a backdoor cover. Winner of the Cajuns-Ohio game will absolutely score 34 or more. The actual over-under in this game is 66.5. It tells me Fun Belt meets the MAC, great passing offense versus great rushing offense. I think this one takes on a shootout format. I'm going to agree with you, too. Saints go over 300, but I think it's close. I think it's under 325 for the game. Nobody's going to be excited, in my opinion, Monday when we're talking about the Saints offense. I just don't see it right now. I really don't see it against Dallas either. I think they've got a chance to get right after that. But as for this moment, I don't know. I'm not going to completely blame Bridgewater for what happened against the Rams. That was a tough spot for anyone. I just don't know how much I'm believing right now. But let's take a trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, it has been a while. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Ben, and yourself?
Life is good. Getting ready for some high school football.
There you go. And hey, Blaine, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? T, long time don't hear from you, bud.
I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you. I for sure have Burrow over, for sure over 350. And over 12.5, I think we'll be far enough ahead where they put in the third stringers and they might score a few touchdowns on that. And the team from Lafayette, under. And over for the Saints, for sure, over 300 yards. Did you say total offense on that?
I did.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well over 300.
All right. So it's a consensus. I've said a bad line. But, T, you're a good man, and it's really good to hear from
you. Hey. Well, look, y'all do a good job tonight, and love your show, man. Keep up the good work.
I enjoy every time we get a chance to hear from T. We'd love to hear from you as well. And we got some time, 706-0111. Look, we're not going to recalibrate because you can't put the genie back in the bottle. But if you were setting an over-under for Saints' total yards of offense, where would that line in the sand be for you?
340 to 350. I just think in this modern-day NFL where, you know, it's so skewed towards offensive numbers, I mean, they're going to get theirs one way or another. I think they just have too many weapons, too.
You mean like the guy Alvin Kamara who had,
if
memory serves, less than 60 or 70 yards of total offense last week? Your all-pro wide receiver who eventually got his, but it took a while.
But but I think that game was just kind of funky last week. Let's talk more about you talked about the LSU offense trying to get the running game going. I know Clyde Edwards has been the guy they've leaned on all season, and rightfully so. I mean, his yards after contact leads the SEC. What about the other guys? How do you think they split that pie chart as they continue to try to build this running game?
You know, we had a guest on this program yesterday. It was Hunt Palmer suggest that Ty Davis Price is going to emerge, and soon, as the number two running back. I never really had a feel that it would be Leonard Fournette, okay? I kind of thought it was going to be John Emery, right? And we heard so much in the summer. We got some glimpses of, you know, released bootleg film of him just doing people up in August and all the fall camp practice sessions. I kind of thought it was going to be Emery. And I'm not always somebody who is slavishly devoted to recruiting rankings, but they were both stellar, right? Coming out of South Louisiana's high school players. Maybe it's just that Davis Price's skill set is better in terms of complementary to Edwards-Helaire. How do you see it?
Well, two of the top six running backs in the entire country last year. I think that John Emery might be more suited for that third down type of role, catching balls out of the backfield. Maybe he's not built to be, you know, the every down type of back. Look, Tyrion Price Davis is just built like a truck. He's the type of guy that could be a bell cow if need be. I just think his build and his running style maybe fits the mold a little bit better for the offense.
As we head to a break, again, I'm just saying, so don't shoot the messenger. The Saints had 203 yards throwing the football last week, 57 running the football. That's a grand total of 260. I know that the Seahawks defense is not the Rams defense. The Legion of Boom has retired / graduated / flunked out. 260 yards. I know they've had a full week to prepare. Everybody thinks it's a horrible line. I guess we'll see.
I mean, you're talking about an offense that was learning on the fly last week.
Okay.
They just lost their leader emotionally. Where were they in that ballgame?
Their offense made a lot of people emotional, I think, with the way they played Sunday.
They didn't help Teddy at all, though, the offensive line and those wide receivers.
I get it. I mean, all the false starts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. And I also understand that Aaron Donald isn't walking through that door, right, Sunday in Seattle. I just don't know that I have a great feeling about the offense just yet. I hope to be wrong, and I hope you call me and tell me all about it on Monday. We'll be right back in one more time in the 4 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Moss Bluff on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield. But it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Less than 5 minutes to 5 o'clock, right back at it with more of the good stuff. We got plenty of time to take your phone calls. You disagree with me? Saints, Seahawks, the way that Bridgewater and the offense performed, do you have more confidence than I do? My bar is pretty low, so I guess it's eminently possible. Call me, let me know, and why. We can talk some LSU, Vandy, Cajuns, Ohio as well. 706-0111. Hey, while we wait on your call, get your side of things. I do want to make sure that we get to some sound from the New Orleans Saints. Some of the players, by the way, had a chance to talk with the media. And as they near the showdown with Seattle, what I think doesn't really matter, Blaine, right? I mean, it's what they think that matters, right?
Right. They're the one dealing with it firsthand, so I think we need to let those guys speak for themselves.
That's fine. And you hear maybe a little AC in the background now. We had to cut it on. It's getting a little musty here in the press box.
A little stagnant air.
And so maybe you get a little bit of noise. Alvin Kamara here says, here's how we feel about the outside noise that we are hearing.
Yeah, I think we do a good job of focusing on what's going on in this locker room. I mean, I've seen a lot. People sending me things, you know. I don't really care. It's not really – I mean, I don't care what's going on outside. Nobody's really in this locker room. Nobody's on that field with us every day when we're practicing. Nobody's on the field with us on Sunday when we're playing. It's just us. So for me to really focus on what people are saying or, you know, fans or whoever, you know, people doubting, they can keep their doubts because, you know, I think I got a pretty good memory and I got a pretty photogenic memory too. So the people that be saying all that, talking all that, trust me, I remember. So don't say good job later when it you know what I'm saying, when it's going good.
I thought I was going to get away with one on the slick. And then AK-41 reminded me, Blaine, that he's got a photogenic memory. So hopefully he doesn't have a carbon copy of my thoughts on this ball game. That's a guy I don't want to get on the bad side of.
No, not a guy that talented. I think my favorite quote all week by him was, you know, does this change your aspirations for playing in the Super Bowl? You know, is that Lord Lee still on the side of my helmet? You know, he's ready to go. He still thinks they have an opportunity to do great things this season.
In about 35 minutes, we'll throw some shade in this program, and my topic was just taken, so I'll readjust. We were going to go with a little Alvin Kamara today, but that's okay. We didn't share the rundown with you. We got more from Alvin Kamara. And I think a lot of people are hoping, calling for Taysom Hill, Kamara being used. Here's what Alvin said on that duo and the RPO between them.
It's definitely fun. I mean, like I said, it just switches up the look for the defense. I mean, now really, it's like throwback to college kind of, you know. You don't really know what to expect.
We'll get some more. Sean Payton, according to Alvin Kamara, more than ready for the challenge of readying a new quarterback. This is going to be the most important part of the ball game. Here's how Alvin Kamara breaks it down.
Drew's down. You know, we all know that. But, I mean, we still got the same coaching staff. We got the same guys calling plays. So, especially, like you said, Sean. I think Sean isn't, you know, I don't feel like Sean's down. Sean's ready. Like, he's ready for the challenge. It is what it is. We got to keep moving, you know. Drew will be back, but right now Teddy's up, and I got confidence in Teddy to do what he has to do.
And the challenge at hand for Bridgewater, Kamara and Company, it's that Seahawks defense. Here's what AK-41 had to say in the group that Pete Carroll fields on that side of the football.
They've been doing well. I mean, even over the past, like you said, it's different, but, I mean, I think their moral code just stays the same. They play aggressive. They take the ball away, and I mean they don't really give up to a lot of big plays. They, you know, they keep it in front of them, and they try to they bend don't break. So I think they're disciplined. They're, like I said, disciplined. They get to the ball and they play well together. Good sound defense.
Flipping it in the other direction, Demario Davis, the Saints defense. They know that the head of the snake is quarterback Russell Wilson. He's lost some targets over the last couple of years, right? Jimmy Graham experiment never really worked out for Seattle. He's had some other receivers that have come and go. Doug Baldwin no longer in the league. But he's still got Tyler Lockett, and he's still playing some pretty darn good football. Here's what Demario Davis had to say on Dangerous.
It's tough. He makes a lot of plays in the passing game and with his legs. You know, he's proven time and time again to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And so probably one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league. They always know where to go with the football. He does a good job protecting the football and keeping his team on track.
Blaine, before we run out of real estate in our 4 o'clock hour, don't forget, less than 7 minutes from right now, Justin Vincent will join us live from Nashville. Your thoughts on the other side, right? Demario Davis looking forward to the challenge against Seattle's offense. Seahawks performed okay in week one against the Bengals. They were a lot better in going to Pittsburgh and winning last week. How good is this Seahawks offense?
I think they're as good as Russell Wilson, you know, can go. I think he struggled early in the season, you know, the last couple years, but he seems to kind of put that to bed. He's playing well right now. I think the Saints defense played extraordinarily, especially in that first half against the Rams. They were on the field a whole bunch after that, and they just kind of, you know, their performance decreased little by little as the game went on. I think they're going to have a big performance. They're going to have to be the leader going forward, though.
And we've got a huge set of ball games, I think. Not necessarily LSU-Vandy. I think the only thing that may be academic there is whether or not the Tigers cover the spread and if defensively they could step up. But tomorrow, early afternoon, the Cajuns at Ohio. We've been talking a little bit about an over-under, right? How many are they going to score in that game? Saints Seahawks, big barometer game post-Drew Brees. All right, before we end hour number one, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Underrated. We're all focused on Georgia-Notre Dame, and I think for understandable reasons. But going under the radar and a bit underrated is Auburn at Texas A&M. It's the reason I wanted Jason Caldwell in this hour. Too bad, too sad we couldn't find our man in College Station. That might determine who has a chance, along with LSU, to maybe dethrone Alabama. Bo Nix and Auburn looking to do what they did against Oregon, this time around at A&M. It's a big ball game, and right now it's going a bit underrated. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in with Justin Vincent. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Welcome into Hour 2 of 2, Bumper to Bumper Sports. Today, live from the home of the Sam Houston Broncos, we are in Moss Bluff, Louisiana, on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, just north of Lake Chuck. The famous Clint D with us from inside the 237 Roof Studios. And keep up with your geography. We're about to head out to Nashville, Tennessee, aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Justin Vincent with the Tiger Athletic Foundation. JV, how's Music City?
It's blowing and going right now, man. I'm actually at the Redneck Riviera right now, and that's actually the name of the place. We're doing Coach Caravan with Nikki Farkas, Steve Bro, Coach Will Wade, and Beth Serena.
Well, give me a little bit so far. How is the coach's caravan? What's the fan reception like right now in Nashville?
There is a ton of LSU people here, man. It's actually really refreshing to see because, obviously, you know, Nashville is the city that kind of never sleeps. And since I've been here since Thursday, there's been a ton of LSU reception. And I hardly ever like to wear LSU stuff around unless I got an event to go to. People were just yelling, "Go Tigers," all night long last night.
Incredible. And what a place to be, getting ready for LSU at Vanderbilt. Did you ever play in Nashville during your time with the Tigers? Trying to think of your time frame.
2005, I did. 2005, whenever they had Jay Cutler.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said whenever they had Jay Cutler, yeah. We went down there. It was a night game. I remember vividly because that was the first game that my mom has ever missed in my whole football career. Because they had an incident in Lake Charles at the refinery, so she had to stay back. But that was the first game she's ever missed. We came down there, and we took care of business and got out of there with a win.
I think there's a chance with as many LSU folks around, as you just mentioned, for this to feel maybe not like being behind enemy lines. I guess what's it like as a player to be in that type of environment while you're kind of quote-unquote on the road?
Yeah, it's a little different, man, because, you know, I mean, obviously nothing against Vanderbilt, but they don't celebrate their football team like they probably should. They haven't been winning as much as they would like to win over the years. So I think the fans, that people go out and have a good time. But, you know, I think this school's kind of turned the corner and almost like a baseball school now. That's not taking it another way. It's nothing they've ever done. But that's just what it is. And, but I think it'll be – the fanfare will be pretty decent tomorrow. I mean, it's an early kick. You know, for the players, pregame here will be like at 7. So – it'll be an early morning start. Hopefully these Tiger fans will get up early and show some love to their Tigers.
Justin, the big news of the day, Ed Ingram reinstated to the LSU football team. I know he's not going to play tomorrow, but what kind of impact does that have on this offensive line, the starters, the depth, and the offense in general?
Yeah, depth, man. I think people can actually just take a deep breath finally. You know, especially Coach Craig. I mean, this adding somebody like this kid with the talent that he has to get him back acclimated and get him going will give an opportunity for guys to actually take a sigh of relief and knowing that they got some formidable depth there. Now, obviously, I don't know how much he's going to play moving forward. He probably won't play at all tomorrow, I'm assuming. But in the next weeks to come and football in the late October and November, I think that he will be someone who we need, hopefully, not as much, but somebody who we need to put in there if we have to.
You know, it's always a bit of a revolving door when it comes to suspensions, when it comes to injuries. So Ingram's back in, and unfortunately Todd Harris is out for the season. What do they do at safety now opposite of Grant Delpit? The first guys up that are going to have a chance, Justin.
Find Jacoby Stevens back and give him more of a role back there now, kind of take him out of the box. You know, Kerry Vincent may be one of the folks they can put back there. I feel comfortable no matter what they do because this is the talent that we had up there. We have a lot of guys. And I'm looking, hopefully, in my opinion, I see a little bit more Eric Monroe. I know the young man has battled tremendously injuries throughout his career so far, but has put in the work and does a great job on special teams. I think he's earned the chance to get his – to get a shot at that position right now to fill in when needed. So, you know, I'm comfortable with the guys we do have, though.
A few more moments with Justin Vincent. He is live from Nashville. Hey, he said the place is called the Redneck Riviera. We're just going to go with that. One name that I'm curious your thoughts on, Marcel Brooks. I don't know that he's, a true deep safety. I think they like him a little more in the box, getting after the passer. But how could he become a part of this defense?
I think he'll do a good job, man. I think you know, put him in there and drop him down in the box and let him do some different things. I'm not quite sure. I haven't watched a lot of tape on him, even when he was coming out, because obviously I'm not in that world anymore, so I don't know his range as far as hip flipping. Can he turn and run a lot? I mean, can he guard the tight end? Can he guard the inside receiver side of the DB? But I know one thing about him. He's physical as hell, and I'm excited for him to get a chance this Saturday to show LSU what they've been waiting for.
I know that you follow football across the spectrum, so I'll get your take quickly on a couple of other games involving SEC teams. Georgia hosting Notre Dame. JV, that's a 2-touchdown spread for the Bulldogs. Who do you like in that one?
Oh, Georgia all the way, man. Something about Notre Dame just kind of chaps me every time I even see their name going across the ticker. You know, I think Kirby Smart has put together something down there. They're playing good ball right now. They're pretty healthy right now, to say the least, but I know – Notre Dame is going to come in prepared. They always do. They're always going to give a fight, put up a fight. So, but I'm hopefully Georgia can walk out. And now, mind you, I'm one of those people who doesn't cheer for the SEC just for the SEC. If it's not LSU, I basically can care less. But since you're asking, you know, I'm listening to it. I love to see Georgia win.
I appreciate the analysis. All right, one more. This time we're going to head west. Texas A&M hosting Auburn. This is a pretty good one in the SEC West. Your thoughts?
I think A&M will probably be up on top, man. Bo Nix is playing some good ball right now, but he has some shaky moments. He's still young, still learning. I like his fight. I like his fight. He'll find a way to win. I saw a lot of maturity from him in the Oregon game at the beginning of the year. He's grown since then. So, and with that confidence, once you get hit a couple of times in this league, your comfort zone and it becomes a whole lot better. You have an opportunity to do some things that you probably typically wouldn't do. But yeah, I think it'll be a close one. But I think A&M, as far as weapons go, offensively, I think they might better take the lead and win this one.
Always good to catch up with you. I know you got a job to do over at the Redneck Riviera. Justin, thank you so much. Enjoy the ball game.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go Broncos.
There you go. That's not bad at all. Think he wasn't listening at the onset? Go Broncos. He knows I'm at the home of Sam Houston High School. Not too far at all from his old stomping grounds, right? Wasn't a bad drive at all to get here. I remember, Clint, because I told you this yesterday, Chet Yoder and I were here in 2015. A game that Karen Crow won. It was awfully close, but it's not hard to get here. I mean, you just jet down I-10. You could take the 210 loop. We went one more exit up, and boom, just – north of Lafayette. So we're in Moss Bluff. How about that, CD? A little Go Broncos from former Bar Buck Justin Vincent.
You got to love it from JV, just dropping the Go Broncos right before signing off. And he's obviously enjoying himself out in Nashville. Just great to hear that. And thankfully, you know, you brought up the fact earlier in the week, we haven't any technical difficulties. I'm on knock on wood, obviously.
Oh, wow. That kind of kibosh with less than an hour and 19 minutes to go in our work week together. Hopefully, we'll keep trucking along. And I know that we will. On the other side, want to keep talking LSU Vandy. We'll dip into Cajuns, Ohio as well. And we'll keep taking your phone calls at 706-0111. We got some shade in our pocket. We're throwing it in about 18, 19 minutes. And then we'll continue to get you closer to football night in Acadiana. The pregame show begins at 6 o'clock, STM versus Plaquemine. Danny Jones and company will have the call when we're done. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff, second of four straight games for Jim Hightower's team at Cougar Stadium. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and yeah, we're here from the home of the Broncos in Moss Bluff on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Offensively, they have a veteran quarterback. They got some very talented receivers. They're very good at throwing the football, but at the same time, they can run it. Defensively, they're third in their league, total defense. They did a very good job against us last year defensively and, you know, playing one of the better teams we feel like in our league. You know, we're excited for the opportunity.
Gus Malzahn, his Tigers on the road at Texas A&M tomorrow, a big opportunity for Auburn football. And, hey, a guest an hour late, it's okay when they're this good. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Glad to sneak him in. Our man Jason Caldwell inside the Auburn Tigers and AUTigers.com. Jason, hope things are going well in the Lone Star State. How are you, bud?
Yeah, the check's in the mail. It's not worth much, but I'm going to send you one anyway. Thanks, Ben.
Hey, anytime. Anytime, man. Look, I got to ask you, I think this opportunity for Bo Nix and Auburn, pretty big stage. We saw what Nix did leading back against Oregon in the opener. What have you seen in the two games since, and how do you feel about a true freshman still leading the charge?
Yeah, Noah, doing what we do, Ben, he's the guy that I've seen since he was in the eighth grade. I've known Bo Nix for a long time, and one thing I know about him is that the moment's not going to be too big. We saw that against Oregon. There's going to be the struggles that you have as a true freshman, but he's a guy that's going to go out there and compete, and so because of that, I don't think that's going to be a huge issue. The biggest issue for me is going to be, can Auburn run the football? This Texas A&M defense is really good against the run. Auburn has not fared well historically under Gus Malzahn when they can't run the football and run it successfully. So I think Bo will be fine, but they need to help him out some in this game by being able to run the football much better.
You and I talked, I believe, in the summer about this dominant defensive line for the Plainsmen. Give us, I guess, three games in, your observations about that group and how they could disrupt the A&M offensive attack.
Yeah, they've done a really good job in facing some different type of offenses. Obviously, Oregon coming out of the gate was a really good offensive line. Obviously, Justin Herbert is a big-time player. I think the rest of the country saw last night that Tulane's a really explosive offensive team that Auburn had to play in week two. And without really knowing what to expect, Will Hall is the offensive coordinator there, a guy known for a long time. They coached my nephew, and he had those guys in a different type scheme. And then Kent State kind of threw the whole kitchen sink at Auburn. So they've had some different types of offense to prepare for, but they played really well. Marlon Davidson is playing the best football of his career, and he's a guy that's been a three-year starter already, now a four-year starter. Still looking for the guy on the other side to deliver that consistent pass rush, but Big Cat Bryant's coming on. And so I think this defensive line is stepping up and playing really well right now.
Jason Caldwell, our guest on Twitter, at ITATJason. How for real do you think that this A&M program is at this point? Year two, just getting started, really, I think, under Jimbo Fisher. Do you believe that they're starting to evolve yet into the juggernaut many think that they can be in this conference?
Yeah, I don't know they're there yet. We'll see. I think that's the question mark, is can they take the next step? And obviously, winning a game like tomorrow would be a big step towards that. But when you still have, golly, when you still have LSU, Alabama, and Georgia on the schedule, just like, you know, Auburn does as well, you got to take big leaps. And are they there yet? I don't know. I think, you know, they had that opportunity against Clemson and played really well. I think it's can they put it all together consistently on offense and defense, and that's the thing I think they're looking for. But we know one thing. The talent level in the state of Texas, the way they've been recruiting, they continue to stockpile more and more talent, especially when you see it on that defensive front four and front seven. That's where they're a different Texas A&M than they were when Johnny Manziel was playing quarterback.
It occurred to me before bringing you on, Jason, we're almost exactly 3 years removed from the LSU-Auburn game on the Plains that basically was the last straw for Les Miles. A lot of people going in thought it could have been the last straw for Gus Malzahn. I guess give me your synopsis of the last 3 years and things. I don't know that they've changed dramatically, but certainly he's in favor and that program heading in a good direction.
Yeah, you know, I think it's I think right now he's probably in as good a shape in terms of where he's at than he's been in a while, Ben. He's been a different guy really since he took play calling over with during the bowl game, you know, last season. You could see it even then when they're getting ready to face Purdue that he was kind of back in his comfort zone. And since that time, he's been a different guy, much more open to us in terms of media and talking, and I think more comfortable in his own skin once again. So I think he has put together a staff he's comfortable with. Got, you know, some former Auburn guys on the staff that are doing a good job recruiting. The defense is playing well, and I think it's just a matter of continuing to find that rhythm on offense. But I think he feels right now, he seems like he's in a much better place than he's been in the last few years.
Jason, I guess relatively speaking, I would refer to myself as a betting man, and I'm betting you've been to just about every SEC stadium and venue. How is College Station, Texas A&M ranking?
Yeah, as far as just the aesthetic value, everything that goes into it, it's incredible. It really is. And when you look at the way this thing was redone, rebuilt from the ground up, they did a fantastic job, and I really enjoy it. For me, it's a little different, though, because of the way they cheer. It's not as loud as some other places, even though there's 100,000 there. It's kind of a loud, steady hum because the way they kind of do things, but they're into the game, and it's one of those places that growing up, you're like, man, that's a pretty neat experience to be able to go there and to cover a game and be on the field. It's an enjoyable place to go watch a football game for sure.
Had you covered a game at Kyle Field before basically a school of engineers fixed the engineering problem when the press box shook? Did you experience that?
No, you know, obviously, well, you know, Mark Murphy did. Mark was up there before they redid it. So we're in that 2013 game, the shootout that Auburn won when D Ford sacked Johnny Manziel kind of at the end of that football game, that was still before the renovation occurred. So we had one experience here then and then a couple of experiences since it's been renovated. So, yeah, growing up in Alabama and going to Legion Field and sitting in the upper deck at Legion Field where it swayed 3 or 4 yards depending on what happened, I'd much rather be in a press box than that situation.
Hey, before we let you go, I'll get your 2 cents. Outside looking in, LSU, Joe Burrow, and I know we got a big ball game coming up in Baton Rouge between Auburn and LSU, but I guess what you've seen so far, and looks like a different squad, right?
Absolutely. The talent level outside of wide receiver has always been there, and now you can see them kind of relishing in the moment of getting those opportunities instead of having, you know, 2 or 3 opportunities a game. Now those guys are getting 2 or 3 opportunities a possession, and so I think you've seen Joe Burrow coming from Ohio State, that system that he was already comfortable with, they're flourishing in it right now. And you know, we'll see kind of moving forward what it means for the running game. Because I had the same question about Alabama. Can they line up and run it after they've kind of thrown it so much? To me, that's the only thing. But you look at LSU, and it's been lights out so far.
I appreciate the check in the mail. I'll be on the lookout. Enjoy your ball game tomorrow. We'll be following you.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
Jason Caldwell, inside the Auburn Tigers. A great follow on Twitter. Again, ITATJason, and then the website AUTigers.com. Got another minute, maybe two, left in this segment. Ben Love, and I'll be joined by Blaine Viator that's a big ball game tomorrow. I know we're all getting caught up in the lights of Georgia Notre Dame, understandably, but this, to me, is a relative SEC West, not quite semifinal, but do you want to be in the final grouping with LSU, Bama, and then fill in the blank? Because I think the winner tomorrow is.
I think this is for a battle of third place in the West, just like you mentioned. I kind of want to echo what he said about Texas A&M. I've been a lot of places in the SEC, and it's a nice venue, don't get me wrong. It does not feel loud in that stadium. I don't know what it is. It's, you know, they got the male cheerleaders and the chants and what have you. But Bo Nix is going to need some help from that running game, like he mentioned. A young freshman making only his fourth start of his career. His first true road test. I mean, that Oregon game was a neutral site game. I think that's going to weigh a little heavy on him. So,
if you're asking me to hate on the game day experience at College Station, there's not enough time left in this show. I will do that until the cows come home. It is one of my least favorite places to go. I know people listening will disagree. It is a khaki-colored cult out there. They're trying to hook each other up with a little kiss after the touchdown, but even that is forced.
Yeah.
You can't force me to get down with the College Station game day experience, and I won't.
It's awful. And Kellen Mond has been just kind of Jacqueline Hyde. You don't know what you're going to get from him. With Auburn's defensive line, they could get after the quarterback. What they're going to have to really do is stop the run, though, and force Kellen Mond to beat him. I don't like his chances beating a good Auburn defense. I truly feel that Auburn's going to go in to College Station and win that ballgame.
And if you think I'm hating on Kyle Field, College Station, and Aggie Nation, let me hate a little bit here on behalf of our good friend Scooter Hobbs. We come out to Lake Chuck. You know we got to fight on Scooter's behalf. And if you don't know Scooter Hobbs of Lake Charles American Press, that's more of a you problem. But he just tweeted out, partner, within the last 12 minutes, I'm just going to read it. The last 22 hours, I've been on the phone with airlines for about six of them. Bottom line, after flights canceled due to Houston Airport closing yesterday, I'm going to miss covering an LSU game for just the third time in 40 years. Tried everything. Look, I've got a job to do between now and 10 p.m. Otherwise, I would get in a vehicle, pick up Scooter. Dude, we'll be in Nashville the way I drive in about 9.5 hours. That man needs to be there.
Yeah, Scooter deserves that. Such a great guy. I have friends that their flights, too, were canceled. They just gave up on the flight situation and drove themselves last night. So, Tiger fans are finding a way to get to Nashville. Such a great city and unique opportunity. You don't get to go there every year.
Stay strong, Scooter. We got your back. We'll be right back in more Bumper to Bumper Sports. And next is the part where we actually throw shade on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
I'm going to tell you what's dangerous as we're back in live from Moss Bluff, Louisiana, home of the Sam Houston High Broncos. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios. What is dangerous is when you expand your footprint. And typically, I'm the only one involved in throwing shade. I'm not like the emperor of it. It's just my show. And so I come up with it almost exclusively, and then I do it. That's not completely fair. The famous Clint D, he gets in with some of the idea generation as well. But when you expand the footprint and suddenly three different people have a different idea of throwing shade, that can become its own hour. So we're going to have to be a little careful here. But let me issue a daily reminder. It's a PSA locally. That no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the standing seam metal awnings. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. And nothing dangerous with them. You can trust them outside your home as well. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Nothing new for us to go with a threefer when we throw shade, but it is a little different when three different people take the duties over. CD, you go first. I know you've got something on Tom Brady.
Yeah, of course. We got to kind of start things off with Tom Brady and him going on Twitter to vent about some of the bad penalties that happened in Thursday night's ball game between the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. He tweeted out around 8 o'clock, "Too many penalties, just let us play." And then 7 minutes later, he gives up on the game altogether, saying, "I'm turning off this game. I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore." It's safe to assume that he probably wound up flipping it over and going to watch a really good ball game between Tulane and Houston after that, rather than watch 15 penalties in the first half called by Sean Hockley, son of Ed Biceps Hockley, and his crew, 8 of which were for holding. It was ridiculous what we saw last night.
That's a good reference to Ed Muscles Hockley. All right, Blaine, I know you got something in your mind, too.
I'm going to say, kind of in the same vein as Tom Brady, instead of watching the garbage that the NFL keeps forcing us to watch on Thursday nights, and look, this is no disrespect to the Green Wave and the Houston Cougars last night, but can we get some relevant football? I mean, I think us as a society wants to get back to circa 2005 to 2008.
Oh, it sounds like you want college football.
College football. Ah. Relevant college football on the tube on a Thursday. I remember those games, especially a bunch of Big East games. Rutgers, South Florida, when they were like, what, 1-3 in the country. Louisville, West Virginia. I remember a game with Virginia Tech with Matty Ryan was out there slanging it on a Thursday night. Let's get some relevant college games back on a Thursday instead of the garbage that the NFL keeps making us watch on Thursday evenings.
I believe that 07 season that you're referencing, LSU also led the season off at Mississippi State. And that year was bonkers, right? Not only did two-loss LSU get to and win a national championship, it happened by and large because of Thursday night, because there were so many upsets over and again. Not a bad picture painted so far. Clint's got some shade. Blaine's got some shade. I feel like some of my gripes are a lot lesser because of it. I know that I said we were going three wide. I guess I'll just close with this. I'm throwing shade at the weather, which feels dumb, but I'm going to do it. And not just because of our brothers and sisters in Southeast Texas. I won't say his name. He's fairly reputable around town, but I work out with the guy who has been so excited to bring his son to an Astros game tomorrow for a long, long time. And he came in yesterday to the studio, yesterday early morning, and he just said, I don't know what's going to happen. I said, yeah, man, the rain's coming. We'll find out. He was back there early this morning, talking to him at like 4:45 in the morning. Humble brag, I work out early. And he just said, is it really still shut down? Is the interstate still It is, dude, at the Vinton exit 4. And so I'm sitting here trying to map out with old boy, like, how you going to cut up maybe through, like, DeRidder, like the absolute worst-case scenario where you really got to go all the way to Shreveport. If anybody's trying to get to Houston for anything right now, just stay safe is my advice. Maybe don't go if you can help it, right? Airports have been closed. Driving there seems like a tough idea right now. But in the case of my friend, I feel bad that his son might not get to go watch the Astros take on the Mike Troutless Angels.
No, look, the Astros are fantastic right now. You got a feel for that young man. So everybody out there, stay safe when you travel to Houston and back.
It's a PSA, but hey, mainly we're throwing shade. Now I've done it, Clint's done it, and Blaine's done it. The defense rests.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Hey, one thing I wouldn't dare throw shade at as we head toward our final break of the 5 p.m. hour, Blaine and I, we've been telling you we're at the home of the Sam Houston Broncos, getting ready to call Karen Crow at Sam Houston. There is an inflatable Bronco. How else would you describe it? All I do know, partner, is this. There's currently steam, like smoke, that's coming out of the nostrils of that inflatable Bronco. It's pretty badass.
It's phenomenal. I was impressed with just the inflatable Bronco with the run through right behind it. Then when they added the steam coming through the nostrils, it took it to another level.
You know what it looks like? Like a modern day version of something that would never be allowed anymore. It looks like the Marlboro Man just out there, or like Joe Camel just crushing burning dogs out there in the end zone right now. You couldn't get away with that.
No, not in 2019.
I'm about to get sued for talking about somebody smoking a cigarette on a high school football field. But it's what it looks like right now. It literally looks like that Bronco is just going to town, getting ready for some high school football in a way that nobody can in 2019.
And if you love high school football like we do, this place is just amazing. The atmosphere that's going to be here, there's already people in the stands, beautiful facilities out here. I'm excited for this one, Courtney.
All right, we'll be right back in one more segment of the 5 o'clock hour, and then RP3 joins me and Clint. We'll have football night in Acadiana pregame style from 6 to 6:30. Stick with us. We're smoking ourselves. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports. That was figurative. And we'll be back on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now, back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Back at it. One final time in the 5 o'clock hour and back out to the home of the Sam Houston Broncos, Moss Bluff, where that inflatable Bronco is still smoking. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator here. I was told this is pretty good. I'm not going to lie. After my little mini, you know, deviation, right? I'm known to do that from time to time. You can't just be straight sports for 2.5 straight freaking hours. After my little rant at the end of the last segment, great text into the program. I believe Philip Morris just got sued from that rant. That thing is still smoking down there, dude.
That's a whole lot of smoke coming out of those nostrils. And they're going to keep that going until game time. They're going to burn quite a few, man, if you will.
I don't know how to respond to that. I think what we're going to do is finish up the hour by picking these ball games. We'll go LSU, UL, and the Saints. I picked on y'all last time, right? I made you and Clint go first, then I sniped at you. Turnabout is fair play. I'm going to go all three, and then I'll let you two respond. Give me LSU over Vandy, 34-14. I do not think the Tigers cover the spread. Answering my sink or swim question from earlier, I think Vandy goes over 14. Maybe it happens late. Backdoor cover. But I got LSU at 34-14. I think the Cajuns-Ohio game could be one of the weekend's most exciting. Give me the Cajuns 37-35. And we had an over-under question. Does the winner score 34 or more? My answer is yes. I think this one becomes a bit of a shootout. I like the Cajuns to win it late, running the record to 3-1 and setting the table for a very exciting Sun Belt Conference slate. I don't feel quite as confident with the Saints. Give me the Seahawks 24-17. I just don't trust Bridgewater, that offense. It's not nearly as much on the fly as it was mid-game against the Rams, and I acknowledge that. I don't like their chances of going out to the home of the 12th man and just reinventing offensive football without Drew Brees. Maybe it happens within the next 6 weeks. I don't think it happens right away.
I agree with a lot of the same points you made. I, too, will take LSU over Vandy, and I do not think they're going to cover the spread. I think this might be another sluggish performance for the Tigers. I look for them to win somewhere in the ballpark of 38-17. I still think that Joe Burrow gets his. There's too many weapons around him. He's too locked in, and it's been so efficient this year. So I think the Tigers win 38-17, and you're going to see a lot of different faces in the ballgame. I feel almost the same exact way about you as the Cajuns, setting up just for a spectacular run in the Sun Belt. I like the Raging Cajuns to go on the road and win at Ohio 41-38. Look for all three guys in the backfield to get theirs and for Levi Lewis to settle in as that game goes. I feel the same with the Saints as well. I just don't see that offense just coming out and humming as they would if Drew Brees was there. I do think they get over those 300 yards, however. I look for the Saints to drop that ball game somewhere around 27-17. I just don't see them being able to go on the road and win right now without Drew. Let's see if that, you know, two-headed monster at quarterback can maybe get going.
Clint, you got to rescue us so far. We think the same three teams win these three games. What say you?
I'm pretty much going the same way y'all are, but I'll go a little bit differently, starting things off with LSU. I think this one winds up being a blowout because the fact I feel like Vanderbilt hasn't proven much to me, and I feel like the biggest reason why is because LSU's offense is going to be up for this 11 a.m. ball game. They're not going to be sluggish. I think they wind up winning this one 42-10. That's where I'm at right now for this one. It's going to be one side as I'll get out. Ooh. And that's where I'm at with LSU. When it comes to the Cajuns-Ohio game, I mentioned earlier with that over-under, I went under on the Cajuns-Ohio, the winner of that one scoring under 34 points, and it's slightly under 31-28. The Cajuns get the win. A late field goal from Stevie Arteague kind of exercises his demons. That's my bold prediction right there. And when it comes to the Saints Seahawks, it feels like the Seahawks are going to win this one, but it'll be a very, very close ball game. Let's go 28-21.
I like it. And so we'll recap a little bit there. Clint deviates, as he said, not in who wins, but in how they win. He likes LSU in more of a blowout. He thinks that Saints Seahawks is perhaps a little bit more competitive than you and I do. I kind of want to focus in, as we finish this hour up, Cajuns, Bobcats, because how much of a shootout is it? How much has Ron Roberts' defense improved? How much might it matter against an Ohio team that is slinging it all over the yard? They've got a veteran quarterback that recently set the program record. I guess here's what I would tell you. It's easy to say the defense is improved when you play Liberty and you play Texas Southern. I'm not knocking these guys, but let's call a spade. You go on the road, you face a pass-happy offense that's won 9 games each of the last 2 years, that's been competitive, going to play at Pitt, very competitive in a shootout with Marshall. Tomorrow's an awfully big litmus test. Where is this defense at? Are they ready to play a game that's scored in the 20s? Do they have to go and win games that are scored in the mid to high 30s plus? I think that's a huge storyline within all the Sun Belt as the Cajuns head to MAC country tomorrow.
And it's going to be their first true road test. I mean, they went on the road in week one, but it was a neutral site game against a Mississippi State offense that's been stagnant so far this season. So I'm not sure, as you mentioned, that they've been tested much. Frank Solich and company, look, they sling it all over the yard, but they're going to be a run-first team. They like to run the football. They've been able to do that with success so far this year as well.
I got to be 100 with you. I didn't realize before this week that Frank Solich was still at Ohio. I'm not even trying to be cute or funny here. I just vividly remember when his time at Nebraska was done. I remember him going to Ohio. I think we all know the storyline now that Joe Burrow's dad for years was Solich's kind of second-in-command as the defensive coordinator. It should have clicked with me. It just didn't until this game popped up on the schedule and into my memory banks. I didn't know Solich was still there, but that's, look, for old school football purists, that's a great name drop right there. So the Cajuns with, I mean, some of the newest blood you can ask for injected into the, you know, the bloodline of their program with Billy Napier going to take on the old guard in Athens, Ohio.
I should have never been fired from Nebraska, too, to begin with, right? We're going to go that route. I just think UL's on a different level. I think Billy Napier just has them playing at a high level. I don't think the road environment's going to slow down the offense much. And I think a quarterback's best friend when he's trying to get going is a healthy running game. And UL just absolutely has a dynamite running game.
So a little bit of focus there on the Raging Cajuns. Huge ball game. Finishing up non-conference play at Ohio. And we know that ending the month of September is a trip next weekend to Georgia Southern. I had them preseason at 2-3 at this juncture. Thing is, I also picked them to win two enormous ball games, the only two on the schedule in October. I thought, and I still think they could, win at home Wednesday night against App State and then go on the road and beat Arkansas State. And I know this, if it's 3-2 instead of 2-3, boy, it's been a pretty nice September. But oh my, if somehow, some way, it's 4-1 instead of this bonehead's predictions, they might have to start, I guess, at least designing the statue for Napier, right? I don't know that you need to go ahead and erect it fully yet, but you might need to design the statue.
You might have to help me out with a little bit of terminology, but the mothership has an index that they use to help predict games.
Chances of winning, basically?
UL's actually, after this Ohio game, should be favored at this juncture in the season in the rest of their ball games.
And that's a mouthful, right? I mean, you're playing at two of the three most storied programs in the Sun Belt when you subtract yourself from that equation, right? You're going to Georgia Southern. You're going to Arkansas State. I understand everything that's going on with Coach Blake Anderson. And by the way, not to go too far down windy roads, but a lot of people are excited about what's going to happen in Athens tomorrow night, Athens, Georgia. What happened in Athens last Saturday was spectacular, celebrating the life of Wendy Anderson.
I couldn't agree more. I think what they did was just so classy and such a nice touch. It goes to show you how, you know, we're all here for sports and we love it, but there's things bigger than sports. And for the folks in Georgia to do that for Blake Anderson, who's just a stand-up guy too, man. He's just one of the gems in the coaching industry. For them to do that, I just thought it was an excellent touch. And it just shows the human element inside sports that we sometimes forget.
It's been a fun 2 hours. We got 30 more minutes coming at you on the other side of our hour break. RP3 is going to step in. It'll be football night in Acadiana pregame style. The games on our family of stations at Delta Media will preview every single one of them, including the one that Blaine and I will call on Z105.9. Karen Crow at Sam Houston. The Broncos are wearing almost highlighter bright gold right now. It will not be hard to find them. And I got to tell you, if memory serves, when I was here 4 years ago, I feel like they had some of those unis that were almost Oregon-like, to where the background color of the jersey was really eerily similar to the background color of the numbers, and you were basically just picking numbers out of a hat, trying to figure out if you had the right kit or not. So we will not have that problem tonight. And if you want to get ready for high school football in the area and around the state, you're not going to have a problem if you keep it tuned in to us. A lot of fun so far. More coming at you. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports Football Night in Acadiana. Next on 103.7 The Game.